of the Vedas.
Vedasya
Sarvair, which verse was that? I think we gave the reference, right?
11.
So what does that one say? What's the goal of the Vedas? No. Final goal of Vedas. Even if you go through Vedas, so Vedas, as we know, it's a gradual elevation. You follow gradually, but what's the goal you will come across? What's the end result?
To know the knowledge.
Yeah, no, you can read that particular one. 11. Vedasya Sarvair, Aham, Deva Vedyo, Vedanta Krit.
607.
1550.
Yeah, 607. Read the translation, English translation.
I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas meant to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of Vedas.
So that's where it's very clear. So you can make in this particular verse 44, you can just note that word 11, because that's how we can relate. What's the Vedas? So anybody, you know, Vedas, you can tell. This is the essence of Vedas. So let's go to this elevator process. Instead of going through staircase, we'll go to the elevator directly. Take the elevator. Instead of climbing all the way, you know, if you go to the State Empire building, does it make sense to take elevator, staircase and go to the top? You'll be tired. Yeah, we're a health freak also, you know, you'll not get back. Yeah, even we may go up, but coming down it's... So you should have intelligence, knowledge. So once you have knowledge, you can tell, you know, I'm not going to follow the Vedas, like the gradual process, but I will directly take up the Krishna consciousness. And what about 44? Yeah, because it caters to so many different people, right? The Vedas, you know. Otherwise, you will leave somebody else. So it has to cater to all the different varieties of people. So, for example, in Bengal and all, right? They offer meat to the Kali before eating. That's all part of the Vedas.
The Karma Kanda you don't follow because it is?
Yeah, we'll come across. Yeah, Karma Kanda process, we'll discuss that. Yeah, that's in the mind. So what about text 44? Very, very important.
Since interment and material opulences will be obstacles in the
way. So Boga?
Aishwarya.
Aishwarya. Boga means? You enjoy. You want to enjoy the fruits. And Aishwarya? So if you have both of this, because what happens if you have both of this, material opulence and sense enjoyment, what happens? Why you don't get the resolute determination?
Because you are more focused on enjoying them rather than...
Because you are most focused on gratification rather than...
Because you get the sense of proprietorship. Once you have a lot of things, you think you are the, you know, you own it. Then you act as a proprietor. And the whole philosophy is, what's our eternal position?
Servant.
So then it doesn't match. It mismatches. So it never fits. So we can always see, you know, whenever we do some activities, we can always see. We are doing, no doubt, we are, you know, all of us, we are in some degree, we are engaging in these things. But the final goal, we should know what's our goal. So, how to reduce. But it's not that, you know, you give up everything. You know, nirakar, you know, neti, 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 you know, Arivilas Prabhu always says, you know, I don't want this, I don't, not like that. But we have to dovetail in Krishna's service. Like how Prabhupada says, if the boss is satisfied, like you are a servant, you are serving somebody. So you are serving somebody. If the boss is satisfied, automatically servant will get satisfied. Right? So then you don't have to worry. So if you satisfy Krishna, because he is the, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, then and we are part and parcel of him, automatically we will get satisfied. So you should never have a doubt that, you know. And the text 45. the text 45 also it's about
material.
So basically all of us, that's why Vedas are, you know, built for like almost 99% of the people, because we are always under the modes. So once we are under the modes, we are always duality, we are in duality and, you know, anxious all the time. So that's why it says the Vedas mainly deal with the subject of three modes of material nature, or, you know, become transcendental to these three modes. Like anything, like hot, cold, that's what Prabhupada uses, no? Happiness, distress, heat, cold, like that, you know. Prabhupada gives a nice example, you know. If rain is rain, right, it starts raining. So, it doesn't, if you are an intelligent man, you never complain. If it rains or if it's sunny, he doesn't complain. It's too much rain, why it's raining. But what he does is, he just takes one umbrella, because you cannot change. Things you cannot change. If it's raining, you know, if it's hot, you cannot do anything actually. So he says, you just take umbrella, you just survive. Basically that's how, you need to get out of this material world as quickly as possible. But intelligent man is the one who knows how to tolerate. You should know, when it rains, you know, you use umbrella. If it's cold, you wear jacket, like, you know. Because our lifespan is short. So you should be intelligent how to use. And it said that you have to become transcendental to these three modes. So what mode will be in them? The whole material world is made up of these three modes. So what modes will work in? So how can we become transcendental? No, it says that become transcendental to these three modes. So how can we become transcendental?
Control your tongue.
See, the, what are the three modes? Rajas. Right? So anything we do, it's combination of this. All of us, you know, we are inclined. It's a, you know, mixed paint. You take three different color, you mix, you can make multiple. So every one of us is made up of this three. It can be variation. One can be in mode of passion more, goodness more, like that. It varies. So, but whatever we do, so it taint with this. So, what can we do? Like to get out, here it says we have to become transcendental to three modes. So, how can we be done practically?
Through devotion service, which is
Akarma.
So, when you keep Krishna or Vishnu in the center, so then they become the proprietor, then you act as a servant, then you will not get any reactions. So that's akarma. You don't get any reactions back. So that is your, so even being in this world, you can be transcendental. So that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Be transcendental to three modes. So it's very practical. We also can be transcendental. It's not that Arjuna, Krishna was present physically, only Arjuna can be in transcendental. No, we also, when you enter temple, from that time I'm pretty sure, If you don't have any, you know, ulterior motives, like going to Krishna or praying, you know, give me this, give me money, like that. If you don't have anything, if you just come sincerely, you take darshan, pray to Krishna, take prasadam, those things you are doing it in a transcendental mode. So you are on transcendental, you are not getting any, you know, reactions, actions or anything. So it's very powerful. And what about text? See, in the 45, Prabhupada in the purport is saying, as long as, last paragraph in the text 45, as long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of the dualities, such as happiness, distress, cold, warmth, and by tolerating such dualities, become free from anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. So then 46, all purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. Right? So you can start, you know, watering each leaf or whatever, no? Trunks, everything. Or you can go directly and water the root. So that's what it said that. So also I think we gave the analogy that, you know, in the olden times, one of the acharyas, he says, you know, they had a different wells for different things. So people used to go to one well to get drinking water, one well to wash clothes, like that. But if you find a, you know, the flowing river, the, you know, nice water flowing river, that can be used for washing clothes, everything. So you don't have to go to different well. So you can just go to that water source and you can fulfill all your duties. Okay, I like this one. Text 47. Very important one, right?
Yes.
We discussed this one. What's important in this one? Why?
They quote only the first line.
So most of this is a very commonly quoted line. They use only one line. So you perform your karma, karmani evadikaraste ma faleshu kadachan ma karma phala eturbur ma te sango stva akarmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So this is, you do a prescribed duty but not attached. So that's the Nishkama Karma Yoga. So here actually Krishna is setting, like he is telling Arjuna what he should be doing. So he clearly defining the, you know, what level he should act, Arjuna should act. And as a, Arjuna is a Kshatriya, so he has to fight.
Why do you say just talk to one line?
The first one? First line. So generally people just use, perform your prescribed duty. So what generally people, you know, they say work is worship. This is.
So they say, you know, work as just worship. So you can just engage in all the time, 24 hours or whatever time you want. But then the results also, people keep it. So that's the problem with the. Put your jacket. And then the, so that's the first part, right? So Prabhupada says there are three considerations here. One is, he is talking about prescribed duties. Another one is capricious work, and one is inaction. So we understood that, right? Prescribed duties. So all of us have some duties to perform. And of course we are not really following the Varnashrama system, because it's not, you know, being followed, or, you know, it's not a standard now. But we know what to do, right? As a grihastha, it's a duty of you to take care of husband, you know, wife, kids, all those things. We'll come across their duties, but that's what, for us, prescribed duties. And because we are not really following the Varnashrama system, that's why Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness. If you just follow Krishna consciousness, that's enough. Because Krishna consciousness means Krishna consciousness. So you're changing your consciousness. So at the end of the day, when you leave your body, if your consciousness is something else, you're going to get the body accordingly. Right? That's what. So when we leave the body, it all depends what's our consciousness is. Are you thinking about the Lord, you know, Krishna, or you're thinking about something else? So that's why we don't follow the Varnashrama system, like, you know, all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, like that. So the replacement for Varnashrama system, the currently we follow is Krishna consciousness. We should be following Krishna consciousness. And then when you know you are in Krishna consciousness, then you know what's the prescribed duty. Right? Chanting, all this thing. We know already what to do when you are in Krishna consciousness.
and the capricious work. So if you are not doing the prescribed duty, then you are on your own. So then it considered as a capricious. It becomes whimsical. You do it on your own. Whatever, you know, what feels good for me, I will do that. So that's considered whimsical or capricious. And the next one, Prabhupada is saying, that's inaction. Never be attached to not doing your duty. Because lots of people will say, you know, anyway, it's I am destined, so I will not do anything. Everything will, it will happen, just, you know, like a flowing, free flow like that. But Prabhupada, in this, if you read the purport, he says, inaction is also sinful. So you cannot be ideal. Like, you know, you have to do your duty. I say, if you get married, and if you don't do anything, if you say, you know, Krishna is going to take care of, you know, me and my family, everything, then you're misusing you're not doing your duty. Then that becomes sinful. If you read the purport, Prabhupada says, inaction is sinful. And in the translation also it says, never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. So what do we think currently? So we currently, you know, if you take all of us, we think anything we do, we think it's because of my ability or, you know. But let's see 18. Let's go to 18 chapter 14 text. No, not
18:14.
6:14. No, actually, it's not 14.
It's 16.
Yes, it's 8. Maybe not that.
11:55 and 4:11.
4:11, right?
Yeah.
No, it's 18:14.
No, last time
he gave the reference. Yeah, that's why I think I. 4:11 and 11:55. But the other one, which one, bro? 4?
4:11.
No, this is different actually. I wanted to. So anyway, so we usually think we are the, you know, the soul, the doer. But any activities, there are 5 actions actually. I think I didn't get that.
That is same. 16,
5 factors of action. 16?
16:14. What is the one
which
you just mentioned?
18:14.
That's the correct one? 18:14.
Yeah. Basically, there are 5 factors. 18:14,
it says the 5 factors. And then 14.
Yeah, that's correct. 8:14. So, I don't know where you go. So, here, right? So, if you read this, the place of action, the body, the performer, that's the soul. Then the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul, these are the 5 factors of action. 18:14, yeah.
1:4.
Yeah, 1:4. Yeah. So then we can realize that, you know, we are not just by ourselves, we cannot do anything on our own. So these 5 factors are involved. Anything we do, ultimately the super soul has to grant permission. Otherwise, that you cannot do that one. So basically it says, never consider yourself the cause of the results of activities. So we should never think we are the proprietor or we are the doer. Because if you go to 18:14, it says that what are the 5 factors? Anything you want to do, the 5 factors, it should involve 5 factors. You cannot do it on your own. So the one is the body, which you are not. You are a soul, right? You are a performer. So you need to have a body, you need to the soul, then the various senses, then the many different kinds of endeavor, and then ultimately the super soul.
Does it mean the combination of all the...
Yeah, anything you want to do, it involves these five things.
So, Prabhu, if the super soul is only granting permission, then why do we get the reactions to that?
Because it's free will, right? See, the Lord, he never...
Why does he grant permission? He can shut it down, right?
But then where is the point of love? See, the... Can you do anybody, you know, like, I don't know, can you anybody force, can you force anybody to love you?
No, I see.
You cannot, that's not a pure love.
Like, Sakshi Buddha.
So we cannot force, you know, so that's what Lord accepts. He, you know, he always expects that, you know, it's unconditional love. So then to have unconditional love, yes, you cannot, that's why super soul, it gives you intelligence. That's why, you know, the always we are actually, we work most of the time, we work on the mental platform. The mind dictates us. But once in a while, the intelligence pops up. The mind will say, you know, do this, so many things it will say. But the intelligence comes out. We can all, you know, if you clearly have the clear consciousness, you can see. So intelligence tells, this is not the right thing. Whatever the mind is saying, this is not the right thing. So don't do it. Do you get double thoughts like that anytime?
Yeah.
Mind says something. Of course, we may not be able to differentiate what's mind, what's intelligence, but that's what we get. Mind immediately gives some solution. But intelligence, you think, oh, that may not be the right. So that's coming from the intelligence platform. Because that comes from the super soul. That super soul is the one who gives, you know, intelligence. Don't do this, don't do this. So then the super soul, you know, it tries. It gives you, you know, intelligence. Krishna gives you from inside. Don't do this, don't do this. But then if you are so much still, you know, stubborn, then he says, you know, free will, right? You cannot stop your free will. The one thing which even the Lord will not touch is the free will. Even the Lord will not interfere in your free will. Then it becomes, you know, like a slave. You are forcing somebody to do. Then you will not be happy.
What is the Sanskrit term for free will?
No.
I mean, super soul is paramatma.
Yeah, super soul is paramatma.
Jivatma is the body, isn't it?
No, jiva is...
Jivatma is the soul, that's it.
The soul.
Yeah, jiva, yeah.
Jiva is the
soul. No, soul, not the body.
The soul, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, jiva is the soul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surya is outside, if you want to go.
Yeah, I just want to double check.
No, they're outside.
Okay. You checked.
Yeah.
But yeah, but what free will, I mean, is there a term for that?
In Sanskrit?
Yeah. Because
it
seems to be more like...
I will check.
Like mentioned a lot of
I always use free will only.
Yeah.
I also don't use... I will give. It's there for sure, yeah. I will tell. So that's why super soul also never forces. So... Then what else? So we discussed the example, like, you know, if you take a student... So the student, yeah, he can put all his effort and, you know, he has to try his best. So if he, you know, gets a good result, he can be, you know, happy that, you know, he got the result. If he doesn't get a good result, he can think it's a lot, you know, whatever the plan. But if he says, you know, I'm not going to study, you know, something Lord is going to give me, you know, the final, whatever, the pass, this thing. So that's inaction. You're not doing your duty. Then capricious also, that's the one, right? If you don't follow the teacher properly, whatever the syllabus and all, you know, properly, if you don't study, scheduled proper study, then it becomes whimsical. So what else in that? I think we discussed... Yeah, the 411 was, why did we quote 411? That's also important. 411?
411.
Ye tamam prapadyante tamas tataiva. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. So if he starts saying, if you say that work is worship, and if you don't give time to God or Lord to worship Lord, then one point Lord also will say, I don't have time for you. That's what it's, no? Because what the general conception or, you know, perception is, even Prabhupada, many people told Prabhupada, you know, why, you know, you just stand 16 rounds, 2 hours, you know, every day. Instead of that, you can go and make some dollars. They were suggesting Prabhupada at that time. All your disciples and all, right? They're wasting, you know, 2 hours just chanting, not doing anything. Instead of that, you can go work, make money. But then that's for people who doesn't know the goal. But for us, we know the chanting is the main, the essence.
So the last paragraph in text 47, Arjuna was therefore advised by the Lord to fight as a matter of duty without attachment to the result. His non-participation in the battle is another side of attachment. Such attachment never leads one to the path of salvation. Any attachment, positive or negative, is cause of bondage, cause for bondage. Inaction is sinful. Therefore, fighting as a matter of duty was the only auspicious path of salvation for Arjuna. And also we discussed example of Srila Prabhupada himself. He was a very, very successful businessman, chemist. He had his own lab, all those things. But then he was married, he had kids, everything. But then he started losing business at some point, you know, when he was 45 or something like that. You know, he started losing business. But he never gave up. He went to, he moved from, you know, Allahabad to some other place. Everywhere he went to different places to bring, because he wanted to really become a rich man. You know, he wanted to really become a rich man. That was his goal. But then whatever place he goes and opens a business, it used to fail. So many times he tried, many times. Then finally he realized, you know, Krishna has something higher purpose for him, to do something else. Then at 52 or something, he took vanaprastha. Because the kids were grown up, so the wife was under the, you know, care of the kids. Then he told, you know, let me full try, because spiritual master had already given instruction to him. You know, you have to go and preach in the West. But he was trying to do the business. He was trying to improve the business. But it was working. Then he realized, I think it's time for me to, you know, start the following the instruction. So then he finally, you know, stopped the business, working on the business. Then he started moving to Vrindavan. He wrote a couple of Bhagavatam cantos. Then it's all history. We know, you know, how successful he was in spreading Krishna consciousness. So for us also, you know, some things, if it doesn't work for long, so don't try to, of course, don't make decision on your own. Always you can consult somebody like Arivilas Prabhu. You are trying something, but you always see the failure. You are trying to, you know, I don't know, for me, you know, I'm still trying to work on the, I want to do the farming. That's my, you know, once I retire, whatever age I want to retire, I want to get into farming. Because that was one of the main instruction Prabhupada gave. First instruction was mainly, you know, book distribute, spread. Then the second one is to establish the farming communities. He wanted to make self-sufficient. All of us, we should be self-sufficient. We should never depend on the outside, this thing. So that was, so for me, I was trying, you know, for quite some time I'm trying, but it still not work. It didn't work out. I'm not able to buy anything, you know, on land or anything.
You
want to
farming here?
I wanted to do it in India, but it's not working out.
Probably there are a lot of communities like that.
In India, yeah, there are few.
Some promotes have some other.
No, there are many now. Actually, there are few, many, many now. We went to that Hungary, right? Hungary, the Europe, this thing. They have a big community, 600 hectare. The big community, farming community, self-sufficient community. So I wanted to do something like that.
community is
gone,
like, do they have
any
communities in India?
Yeah, yeah, they have. Actually, in Chowpatty near Bombay, they have. Then they have it in Bangalore now. Yeah, that was the Prabhupada's next, he wanted to do that. After the books, he wanted to write books, finish everything, distribute. Then the next one is he wanted to take the farming, agriculture.
So they are selling, definitely. They are producing and selling for profit.
They do milk, I know some farms they do the milk, they give out milk for people they can buy. In London, right, that Vedanta, Bhaktivedanta Manor, close to the London, there is a big Ahimsa farm, like a milk farm, like cows. It's called Ahimsa, that's the label they use, Ahimsa. It's per gallon, it's almost twice as regular milk. You can buy regular milk, but this one is twice the price as the regular. But already, you know, people have booked for many years. When they get top in, they buy it. Immediately it goes out. Looks like, you know, it's so popular. It's very expensive, but people buy it. Because they treat the cows with so much love. So, Prabhupada says, you know, if the cow is happy, it produces more milk. Their the udder, it becomes big. Looks like, you know, they give lots of milk if you treat them nicely. So, they play kirtan, you know, all the time, Prabhupada. No, really it works. That's what I wanted to try, actually. You know, they become so happy, they give milk and, you know.
It is working for us, definitely it will work for cows.
Sure, sure, yeah, no doubt, yeah.
It feels better, right?
Yeah.
Listen, cow will feel better.
Yeah, no doubt, that's what I want to do.
Why is expensive? Probably it should be cheaper, right? Because they are not trying to make any.
No, it's not cheaper. That's why it's difficult to, I think, to, you know, bring them up, you know, keep that standard. Right now it's all, you know, it's all slaughterhouses, right? Most of
most like a grass fed and all, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's very.
Chara will be like very cheap.
And so many injections will do.
Yeah, everything is.
That's what makes the thing come.
So artificial
RBS.
Yeah, this one they don't use anything. It's a grass fed, well taken care of, no? So.
We have started getting that food. Grass fed organic.
Yeah, really. Organic,
it's like becoming like a coffee order.
You have to place order, right?
You get like that grass fed, non-processed milk or raw milk. But it's very expensive.
So that will stay for a few days only. So that will also stay.
It's like Indian milk only.
Nearly no
product. Indian milk will not get spoiled that easily because they add so much water to it.
Yes.
White water.
Okay.
White water.
What do they call it in whole food?
It's raw milk. So there are companies there. It's in bottle. Glass bottle. It's a Smith Farms they have and I think two or three.
So the text 47, so it's called Niskama Karma Yoga. So for all of us also, you know. So if you don't know what's your prescription.
Karma stands for.
You do your duty but not attached to the results. Niskama Karma Yoga. Or Akarma, right? Can you say? So if you don't know what's your prescribed duty, because we don't know actually really what's our prescribed duty. So our prescribed duty is follow 16 good rounds, chant 16 good rounds. That's what Prabhupada says. Follow 4 regulative principles, chant 16 good rounds and take the offered prasadam. Not, you know, cook and eat immediately, offer and take. So that's the easiest way in this Kali Yuga. That's the easiest way to do things. Otherwise you will never be able to. So we also read that, right? You do different pujas for different demigods. And you will never be able to satisfy everybody. It's impossible actually. It's not possible in this Kali Yuga. And that time Arjuna, Krishna was present in front of Arjuna, he was giving. But for us, the Bhagavad Gita is there. It's not different. So, same instructions what Arjuna got, we are also getting the same thing. It's not different from, you know, you don't have to. People may say, you know, that time Krishna was present in front of Arjuna, but no, nobody is there. And this, no, somebody wrote, my friends only say actually, you know, this Bhagavad Gita somebody has written, they don't, basically they don't have faith. You know, somebody has written, somebody manipulated, what's the proof that Krishna gave this knowledge? But once you follow, if you are satisfied yourself, then you can tell others. Nobody can tell, right? If I am full, nobody can, if I am hungry, nobody can. experience that. So once you follow, you will automatically, you will only get, you get realizations. Then your faith becomes stronger. Then nobody has to, you know, you'll never get detour anywhere. Okay, what's text 48? We covered this also, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Text 48?
Yes,
we did. So what do we learn from text 48?
Definition.
Of? So real yoga. So you can really understand what yoga is in from this one. So let's see what perform your duty equipoised, Arjuna, abandoning all attachments to success or failure. Such equanimity is called yoga. So Prabhupada only is saying here, right, in the purport. And what is that yoga? Yoga means to concentrate the mind upon the Supreme by controlling the ever disturbing senses. So there are two things, right? First one is you have to concentrate your mind on the Supreme. Then the next one is you have to control your senses. So that's the definition of yoga. So if anybody says, you know, I am doing you Hatha Yoga, you know, so many yogas, right? So that's all not bona fide. It's not called yoga. It's maybe something, you know, it can be called acrobatic exercises or something. And in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, Arjuna is simply advised to act according to the dictation of Krishna. The following of Krishna's dictation is real yoga, and this is practiced in the process called Krishna consciousness. By Krishna consciousness only can one give up the sense of proprietorship. Oh, see, it again comes. Why that statement? Why is the Prabhupada is making that statement? By only Krishna consciousness, one can give up the sense of proprietorship. Why is that?
Because you act like a servant in when you are Krishna consciousness, right? You are doing everything for Krishna.
Yeah, simple. That's all, right? So gradually we give up the proprietorship. See, once we come to a right temple, somebody will tell you to do clean the floor or something. If you are really, you know, proud, and if you have a lot of false ego, you will never do actually. You will think, you know, oh, nah, this is not mine, you know, I will go. So, oh, Arivilas Prabhu. So, Arivilas Prabhu, you know, he was setting one good example. So, when initially we came, nobody is inclined to clean the restroom. Right? Now, if you come new, if somebody asks you to clean restroom, you will be like, you know, really, it's not, you know, it's not. Yeah, you try to, you know, why I should do that. But Arivilas Prabhu, you know, exactly he was setting that. He was doing that. He was giving class, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita class and all. We are all new actually, we didn't know, right? But he was teaching by example. So after that, you know, all the Bhagavatam, Sunday evenings, I remember, Sunday evenings, because that time, I think 2005, around 70, 80 people used to come, and we had a small place, and the restroom, it's small, so they create big mess, you know, and everything. Then Arivilas Prabhu used to, after Bhagavatam class, Kirtan, Prasadam, he used to go and clean the restroom. And he never told anybody, no, you have to do this, he never told us actually. But then gradually we understood, for Krishna you can do anything. Because that service is related to Krishna. It's not, you cannot say, you know, the toilet, it's not, it's separate from Krishna's this thing. Because people who are devotees come, they will use that one. So you are doing a service to devotees. So he was, you know, teaching by example. Then slowly we realize, you know, we cannot differentiate any service. So Prabhupada says, you know, you're cleaning restroom is not different from somebody who is, you know, on the altar doing puja or dressing Krishna. They get the same result. Then we are all like, wow, that's, nobody tells like that. At least I have not heard anything anywhere, you know. So that's why. So Krishna consciousness makes you give up that false ego and give up that proprietorship. And also in Krishna consciousness, when you come into Krishna consciousness, we know what's the Supreme Lord. Because the real yoga is, we have to concentrate the mind on the Supreme. So that's what we come. We do, you know, chanting all the time, you know, hearing Krishna, the holy name, or taking darshan. So we are always trying to fix our mind on the Supreme Lord. And naturally, and you know, automatically our senses also get engaged. So that's real yoga. So you focus your mind on the Supreme and you engage your senses. Otherwise it always disturbs senses, you know, it keeps disturbing. That's why Prabhupada is clearly telling this is practiced in the process called Krishna consciousness. That is the right way to discharge duty in Krishna consciousness, which alone can help one to act in yoga. Arjuna is a Kshatriya and as such he is participating in the Varanashrama Dharma institution. It is said in the Vishnu Purana that in the Varanashrama Dharma, the whole aim is to satisfy Vishnu. No one should satisfy himself, as is the rule in the material world. So Prabhupada is defining.
But one should...
Yes. Because he is telling what's happening now, currently. Everybody is trying to satisfy one, right? Our own self, we are trying to satisfy. But here is Prabhupada says, but one should satisfy Krishna. So unless one satisfy Krishna, one cannot correctly observe the principle of Varnashrama Dharma. Okay, we can go to text 49, at least we'll do. That was a long review. You all got, at least we missed a lot, right? That's why I just wanted to main things. So we'll go to text 49?
Yeah.
Okay. Durena I avaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddhayo saranam anvichya kripana phala etava. Durena I avaram karma buddhi yoga dananjaya buddho sharanam anvichya kripana phala etava. Mataji, can
read. O Dhananjaya, keep all abominable activities, all dispensed by devotional service, and in that consciousness surrender unto the Lord. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are miser.
Oh, kripana. Kripana means miser. Why is it called miser? Why Prabhupada is using especially here? Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are called misers. So what's the definition of miser? If you want to just give a definition of miser. They keep, right? They don't spend, they make, you know. So how does it apply to in devotional service? So how can we use the same context, how can we apply here in devotional service? Why we are called miser? It's for us only, right? Prabhupada is saying for my
all. We have capacity to do so much, but we don't do that for Krishna.
We do it for us rather than doing it for Krishna.
So especially in this, so what's the goal of the human life?
Going back.
Like, to go back to Godhead. So we have the capacity. That's what we are built for actually. You know, we are supposed to be working on that goal, going back to Godhead. That's the purpose of human life. But we are not doing the duty, or we are not doing that, right? We are just keeping. So we are, you know, taking a detour, we are going somewhere else. But our goal is something else. So basically we are not utilizing the human life. We are doing so many things and we are losing the chance, and it's very rare. That's why Prabhupada is called miser. Kripana, miser. Yeah. You have it with you, but you don't use that.
Opponent is just Brahmana.
Yes, Brahmana. Who is? Who knows the goal of life? Or Aryan. Aryan. You can read. Yeah.
One who has actually come to understand God's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord gives up all engagements, say working in Krishna consciousness. As already explained, Buddhi Yoga means transcendental loving service to the Lord. Such devotional service is the right course of action for the living entity. Only misers desire to enjoy the fruit of their own work just to be further entangled in material bondage. Except for work in Krishna consciousness, all activities are abominable because they continually bind the worker to the cycle of birth and death. One should therefore never desire to be the cause of work. Everything should be done in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. Misers do not know how to utilize the assets of riches which they acquire by good fortune or by hard labor. One should spend all energies working in Krishna consciousness, and that will make one's life successful. Like misers, unfortunate persons do not employ their human energy in the service of the Lord.
See, yes, Prabhupada is only making it clear. So the human energy, if you don't use it, because time goes so fast, I don't know, at least we keep realizing. I came, like, you know, to US in 2000, exactly in 2000. And it's 13 years now. I didn't realize, actually, it's went so fast, you know. 13 years, that's a big amount of time, right? In whatever the lifespan I'm going to live, 13 years is really a big chunk of the amount. So if we don't use our energy, we have, because right now we have all the, you know, faculties. At least we are well off, right? We don't have to worry about, you know, eating the day's food. We don't have money to. We have well off. It's pretty. That's how Krishna gives the opportunity. But if we don't use it, then the other way for Krishna to make, you know, come closer, the devotees to come closer, is to take out things. So, because Krishna is a father for all of us, right? He's a seed-giving father. And father, he always have affection for the children. So, he has one way or the other, he has to use some trick to bring the child to him. So, right now, you know, he's giving all the faculties for us to, you know, to be engaged. But if you don't use it, then he'll at some point. And it can be any time, no? It can be in different variations. Sometimes he comes as a time. He's time himself. Krishna acts as a time. So time goes, and, you know, sometimes you'll be on deathbed, you know, then you realize, why did I not use my human, the energy or life? But that may be too late. Of course, you know, you'll get chance, but what Prabhupada is meaning is, don't be a miser. Use it. You have the opportunity. Get it done. Use it.
Most of the people, they realize when things are not in your hand. Like your life, once you reach hand, you realize, oh, I have lost my whole life.
Yeah,
like
that's
your fuel tank. If you have full tank, you will drive just crazy.
Yeah,
if you have just one reserve, you will drive.
You start driving. You start looking for the gas stations.
Same for our life.
Yeah, no, that's
realize our life is full. Okay, run.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, Prabhupada is emphasizing so much. You have it, chance, go back in this life. I was sharing this with Sahu Prabhu and, you know, like how Swami Prabhu, like how, why the birth is also considered a misery. Because we just went through the, you know, all the delivery, everything. It's tough for the, especially Matajis, it's tough, it's not easy. Yeah, for us Prabhujis, you know, of course we do something, but not really, it's nothing actually. I would say, you know, the 9 months carrying, the labor itself, you know, that whatever that process, then after that, and the kid goes through a lot. I was telling them, you know, Prabhupada says how in the womb, when the baby is there, it's as though, you know, put in a sack, dark space, packed, like how we, same thing, we put ourselves in a dark place, pack you up, keep you in a sack. Like you start, you know, wiggling, all this thing you do. Same thing kids also. And sometimes Prabhupada says some worms will be there in the womb. They go and bite the babies. Mm-hmm. And they are helpless. They cannot do anything. So that's how much, you know, the misery they go through. So then they start praying. Because they came from somewhere, right? Different previous life. They start praying hard. Get me out, you know, I will become a devotee. I want to get out of here. Get me out. Then when they come out, they cry, right? they cry like anything, you know, because the pain, they went through the that whatever the process. Then after that, you know, they get so much of cuddling, you know, affection from the there. So the affection is so strong, they forget what the pain, you know, they went through.
And the promise to Paramatma that I'll be following.
Yeah, they forget everything. But that's not for all. It's not the same for. But of course, the kids who are born, the spiritually inclined parents, they are different. You know, they because parents engage them, try to bring them in the spiritual path. But generally, that's what happens. They pray hard, get me out, you know, I don't want to struggle. But that's how the strong the material modes are. They can make you forget things, and again, cycle continue the cycle.
If you design as well, right? For us as well, if we had a hard time, gradually in 5 or 10 years down the line, we'll gradually forget that.
Forget, yeah. That's the forgetfulness. If
you get pain, we'll gradually forget.
Yeah. The forgetfulness is there. That's what Paramatma gives the forgetfulness also. We thought, Upadrishthanamantacha. Yeah, he is the one who... So then in this one particularly, you know, the middle of the purport, except for work in Krishna consciousness, all activities are abominable because they continually bind the worker to the cycle of birth and death. So if you go to third chapter, text 9, so that's a reference, you know. So, see, Prabhupada, whatever he writes in the purport, it's not that, you know, he's writing something that has a reference from different scriptures. So each sentence you can point it somewhere. So if you see 3.9, 3.9. So work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for its satisfaction, and in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. Right? It's you can note down that reference.
Thinking about Vishnu Purana.
Vishnu Purana. See, the transcendentalists, when they work, like people who are practicing spiritual, so the work becomes a path of liberation. You use it. But for a materialist, the same work, if they do, what happens? For them, it becomes a bondage. That's what for entanglement. You get entangled. Yeah, we can do text 50 also. That's a small one. We can text 50.
Buddhi yukto jahati ha yubi sukrata duskrite tasmat yogaya yujasyasva yoga karmashu kaushalam. Buddhi yukto jahati ha yubi sukrata duskrite tasmat yogaya yujasva yoga karmasu kaushalam.
Yes.
A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad reactions even in this life. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work.
So here the engaged in devotion rids himself of both good and bad actions even in this life. So, if you go to 18, what's the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Or the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? 1866, Sarva Dharman Parichya Jaya, Maham Ekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishyami Masucha. So, how do we get rid? So, in this, because it says good and bad, even in this life, right? So, here Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So that's what Krishna is promising. So that's how you can get. So once you surrender, then automatically, whether it's good, bad, everything, it will. That's what, yeah, you can write that reference here. You can read, Madhuri.
Since time immemorial, each living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad works. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his inner constitution. One's ignorance can be removed by the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which teaches one to surrender unto Lord Sri Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained systemization of action and reaction. First of the Arjuna is advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of
resultant action. So you are good and bad, right? They're talking about Papa and Punya. Punya is karma, right? Whatever we do, very good activities. And Papa is also called Vikarma. That's where you get a lot of bad reactions. And whether it's a good or bad, you get reaction. No? You have to face the, you get actions, you do some action, you get reactions. So you have to reap, you have to come back to reap the results.
With reference to 1866, you said it is because of the essence of Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, it's the conclusion actually, you know. It's a conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. 1866, yeah.
Because I think I remember
1155, I think that's the essence. Yeah, this is conclusion. And also in the translation, therefore strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. So again, we discussed, right, prescribed duty. So we all work. So we are, right now we are doing capriciously or whimsically based on whatever we think is good or, you know. But that also it's training. So once we, you know, follow under somebody, so how to use that results, everything. So it should be trained. So once you are, once you get trained, you know how to use your work also as a service to Krishna. So that on our own we cannot do, because, you know, we go out of track. But somebody who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, if they guide you, then it's easy. You have to just follow their instructions or, you know, whatever they say. Because we all work, and as we know, right, the Lakshmi we get especially, and Lakshmi cannot stay without Vishnu. So we try to separate them. We do Lakshmi Puja, you know, without anybody, you know, just Lakshmi Puja we do. But Lakshmi is chanchal. She cannot stay at one place. So she escapes. So that's why money doesn't stay in. So nobody can be, you know, a rich person all the time. You know, we see, right, whatever that list they keep releasing.
Stock market,
right? Somebody will be rich someday, folks. You know, the list they keep releasing. Somebody will be competing for somebody. So the Lakshmi is chanchal. She keeps moving.
This work, we are referring the same
word, right? Prescribed duty, like you are doing now, you are doing some prescribed duty.
Which is the art of all work.
Yes, try for yoga. Yoga is your, like, you know, prescribed duty. That's,
what is the significance of calling this the art of work? I mean, I know that symbolically we say art or the science of work. Science is basically the method. Art is the,
you know, the, so basically, yeah. So here in the translation is Kaushal, it's using heart here. So what I have understood is, if you want to become an artist, like, you know, you need to get trained.
Yeah.
You cannot be on your own artist. I don't know. I think here they can. I don't know. But anything you want to learn, if you learn under somebody, if you do it under somebody, you can become a good artist, or you'll be better, you can do it better.
As also says skillful, Kaushal also means skillful, right?
Mm-hmm. Kaushal?
Kaushal is art.
Yeah, art. So the good example is in this, right? Arjuna, he was just following the instruction of Krishna. So he got, you know, kind of liberated. He's a devotee. But then the Duryodhana was acting against. He was acting on his false ego.
So yes, you know, he got whatever bad reactions because he didn't follow the instructions.
Okay, bro. So if anybody, so we can stop here. If anybody has any questions, we can. It's what they use it for.